If your Bibles open now to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, we're going to read the first 15 verses. And when Jesus had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the city in the day of judgment than for that city. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. I want us to think this morning on the subject called to serve Christ. Called to serve Christ. And we're looking at the opening verse of chapter 10 and verse 1 as we continue in our subject, in our study of the life of our Lord Jesus. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, as we settle ourselves now in thy holy presence, take away from us, Lord, every distraction. I need that, Father. I pray that each one who knows the Lord here, that we would determine to have the Word of God fastened in our minds and hearts, and by the power that is not our own, Lord, teach us, instruct us, make us open to the will of God for our lives. Help us to be engaged in the worship and service of the Master with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. Forgive us, Lord, I pray, for the times that we have been distracted, we have turned away, we have gone our own pathway, and we have set our own goals and motives and aspirations in front of the work of God. Lord, help us, we pray, to give with all our souls and minds. Lord, watch over us now today. Father, if there are any in our gathering without Christ, please speak to their heart today. We're thankful for the boys and girls that were gathered in the service in the opening part. And as they have gone down to the downstairs for a message from the Word, bless them. But we ask, O God, for the others who are gathered in the service now, for our young people, strengthen them. Lord, bless them. I pray that the youth Bible classes that we have at 10 o'clock and the adult classes, these things would be used, Father, for the extension of the work of God in the heart of everyone, so that we might glorify the Lord Jesus. Hear this, our prayer today. Be with us now. We ask in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. Want to also just remind you that in our evening service tonight, we're looking forward to a special speaker. Reverend Ian Gollaher is here early for the minister's week of prayer, and our brother has agreed to come down and share with us tonight. So Brother Gollaher will be bringing the word to us this evening. Chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, "And when Jesus had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Our brother Kingsley Dew, he's actually away this last week. He's down visiting his daughter in the States. And Brother Kingsley Dew, he has been organizing for the past couple of years gym nights. And most of the time they had been on Tuesdays, but they've now been moved to Monday evenings. So I give you a little plug for that. I encourage you to come out. You're all welcome. There's no restriction. Men and women are all able to come out. And on Monday evenings, now it's not going to be this coming Monday because tomorrow night, because Kingsley's away, and the following Monday is actually Thanksgiving. So it'll not be that Monday night. But we'll keep you posted on that. But you're very welcome to come out. Most of the sports or games that he organizes, well, they're under the category of racket sports. And if you've never played pickleball, it's quite an interesting game. I have learned how to play it just recently. It's an interesting racket sport, along with badminton and table tennis. And if you are a player of any of those, you're very welcome to come out, because you know, the pastor always needs some more lessons in these sports, both in badminton and table tennis, and I always like to get some lessons if we can, and to encourage each other. It's always a nice time to have good fellowship and to have some good competition as well. Brother Alan Rogerson, he's a pickleball man, and he's good at that game, and he enjoys coming out and playing that as well. Each of those sports that I've cited to you involves serving to the opponent. And serving is a critical part of the game. And if you've also watched any tennis on your television, you will know that the person who gets the advantage when it comes to serving in tennis will very often win the tournament. In fact, if you cannot hold service in a tennis game, you will lose the match. So it's a vital part of playing. A poor service game, well, it often means and leads to the reason for losing. So I ask you a question today. How is your service game? Are you holding service in your Christian life? Yes, we're not talking about racket sports now. We're talking about something that's much more important than that. We are speaking about those who are living their life for the Lord, saved by His grace, called by God to serve. You know, our Lord Jesus did this perfectly. So when we look at His life, we have the premier example of a servant. We have the premier example of someone who had given himself to serve others. And you cannot look at the life of Christ, you cannot look at his journey to the cross without seeing there the highlight of his experience and life. He went to give himself to serve others so that you and I today might have life. We might have not just life on this earth, but we might enjoy spiritual life forever and ever. The Lord, we are told, went about doing good. And he gave himself and his time to serve other people. And my friend, I say to you today most honestly and earnestly that if you are a believer in Christ, you desire to hear the words of the Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You want to know that your life has not been wasted, But your life in Christ has been valuable and of some import to the extension of his kingdom. If you don't have that desire, friend, check your attitude, your mind, your heart. Because this is essential. If you're a believer and you're quite happy to go through life just absorbing and taking everything to yourself, there might be a problem. There might be a serious problem. So the question to you this morning, how is your service? How is your service game, though life is not a game? In order to be found faithful to the Lord Jesus, we must give ourselves to him in serving. We need to respond openly and honestly to the loving influences of the Holy Spirit in our life and devote our bodies and our minds and our hearts and our souls. Why? Because, my dear friend, we are called to serve the Lord. Called in serving him. What does it mean? Well, first of all, it means this, that we are called to a willing and active service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he called unto him, we are told in chapter 10 and verse 1, when he had called unto him. You see, before Christ calls us to serve him, he must call us to himself in salvation. A lot of times people put the cart before the horse and they will think that, yes, I will serve Christ in my life and I will serve him in order to promote myself and to show him that I am willing to give, that I am willing to present myself, and therefore I will give that and he will then receive me as his child after that. No, friend, that's the wrong order. You cannot, I could not serve the Lord in any capacity outside of knowing him as my own personal Savior. And someone might be thinking right now, well, does that mean that God does not or cannot use someone else who is not a believer to extend his kingdom? Well, the answer to that question is most definitely God can, and he has. And he will use ungodly people in as he moves them for his greater and eternal purposes. I mean, God moves kingdoms. God moves kings and emperors to do and fulfill his will. But there is a very important distinction. They are doing that by the sovereign purpose of God, to accomplish what he wants for the fulfillment of his church. But that's different from being a child of God. That's different from belonging to Christ. That's different from having a heart that is willing to serve him with everything that we have and can. And this is why I've termed this the willing and active service, because the whole context here of the 12 disciples being set apart for service is just about that. And that there are no part-time disciples. There are no part-time Christians. There are no reserves in the army of the Lord. And we must, as being called of God in salvation, being brought into his family, being made children, sons and daughters of the Most High God, we now therefore must be equipped by him to serve. My dear friends, the whole of the Bible shows us character after character, circumstance after situation, where people who love the Lord have been set apart for his purposes. Now, we read in Hebrews chapter 5 today. I emphasized to you about the calling that Aaron and the priesthood had. But right following that, because Aaron was only a picture of the great high priest who was to come, and as Aaron devoted his life being set apart by God, and how beautiful it was there that he was set apart to help those who are weak, to help those who are set aside, to help those who are in need. And that was the purpose of the priest. And that's the purpose of those who are in pastoral ministry and those who are ordained by God as elders, to help and to give assistance. The calling of the Lord. But then right following that, we're told about how Christ was called to be the high priest, the great high priest, and the calling that was upon him to be a servant of the Most High God. He is set before us as the great example. My friends, do you see in your life the elements of Christ's service giving to others? Do you see in your life and heart a willing desire and a heart that you want to say, my life is given to him? In this assembly, as we are called by God to serve here in this body, we are those that have been called unto him. That's what it says in our verse. He called unto him his 12 disciples. You see, when we're called to serve Christ, when we're called in salvation unto him, we are called to a person. Let us never forget that, friends. We're called to the person of our Redeemer. And we're not called to simply some philosophy or ideal. We're not called to a church or religious system. We're not called to a denomination. And I'm talking here about in the very core of what we're dealing with here. Yes, we are brought into a family, in a denomination, a church fellowship. Yes, we are members of a local body. That's taught in the Bible, that we need to be part of the local body. God has called me as a pastor and a minister under the Free Presbyterian umbrella. But in that, friend, let us not be sidetracked or diverted into the great calling and the greater picture of the fact we're called unto the Lord and we are serving him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And when we're called unto the Lord, let us not be diverted, but keep ourselves single toward him, to keep our attention and our focus upon the glory and the honor of King Jesus. That is the purpose behind why the Lord has put us into his work. And Romans 12 and verse 1 tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And that calls us to the dedication and consecration of our lives. But what does that mean for us? What does it mean to be consecrated unto God? Well, friend, quite simply, consecration is a commitment of our lives to the person and to the work of Jesus Christ. It's not holding back or fearing that we may spend too much, but willingly spending all for him. How is our service today? How is our service game for the Lord? Are we giving ourselves to him? When could we say that we are consecrating our life to the Lord? Is it something that you do when you're saved and you say, Lord, you've saved me and I give my life to you? Yes, that would be a very good and important time to do it. And I think, though, sometimes when people are saved, maybe theology is not quite accurate and correct. And perhaps they are saved, but they do not grow in the Lord, and they go through maybe years of their life and not really developing. And the fact is that the Lord is not the Lord of their life. But the very important teaching in the Bible is that Christ is to be made Lord of our life. And I say to you, that is a conscious consecration of the believer. to say, Lord, I do not want just to have a superficial experience with Christ, but I want to have the Lord as being the King and controller of everything I do. Sadly, though, we have to confess that's not always the way it is. And maybe for someone here today, you have not even come to that point in your life where you say, I want Christ to be the Lord over every area of my life. I want to consecrate and commit myself to Him. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily. Yes, you see, commitment and consecration to the Lord is not just at salvation. It's not at some special meeting that you have where emotions run high and you feel moved by the Spirit of God and you dedicate yourself then and then it kind of fades off. But the Lord addresses this very point here and He says, every day. It is taking the Lord and taking our commitment and taking the consecration to Him every day and say, Lord, here is a new day You've given me. The sun has arisen. Before my feet touch the floor out of my bed, I say, Lord, take my life and use me. And I believe, friend, that if you pray that prayer, if I pray that prayer from my heart, we will see things differently in our soul. We may well see things differently developing in our own fellowship. We may see the love and the kindness of the Lord flowing through us. We may see things that we once thought were an impossibility now become very real and possible and plausible in our own walk with the Lord. When Mary came with the box of ointment to anoint the Lord, She was disregarded by the other disciples, and they felt it to be a great waste. But the Lord took that from Mary as a great sacrifice and offering. And what she gave and how she spread that ointment around, and it filled the entire house with the fragrance of it. And she's remembered for time and eternity as a work she did for the Lord's glory and honor. Friend, on the other side, we have in the New Testament a man like Demas, whom Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, that doesn't mean that Demas was an unbeliever. It may well be that Demas knew the Lord, and it didn't mean that he was not able to be restored, but at that particular point, the sad testimony that is marked of that man is that he had a love for the present world that meant that he forsook the gospel, he forsook serving Christ. Is there a Demas here this morning? Does the Lord prick our conscience and say, yes, there's something more that I'm calling you to give in consecration for the Master? It will require of us a level of sacrifice, there is no doubt. Giving up something that is legitimate because your service for Christ comes first. It may be, friend. I cannot make a list of things in this regard, for every believer is different in this category, and it's God's Spirit that will work on your own soul as He works on mine on this point. But when you think about sacrifice, how little that any of us know about that in this age in which we're living in. God knows our hearts. And even though we might not be going through the physical expression of persecution or something that is outwardly seen, yet God knows the heart. And He always looks into the heart beyond the outward that we are so good at putting forward sometimes. God sees us as to who we really are. And He knows that if there is a willingness, and if there is a devotion, if there is an exaltation of presenting Lord, the Savior as being Lord of the life, then, friend, there will be that sacrifice. When God asks us to give, we are more than willing to give that to him. And yes, it may require at sometimes some suffering. You know, the disciples at this time in their life knew very little about this when they were first sent out. Yes, later persecution started for them. But when they first went out, they came back, you remember, they were rejoicing that the very devils were subject unto them as they went out. So God committed them first of all, and the Lord sent them out, and there was an element of victory and success in what they did. And sometimes when the Lord sends you out on an errand or a charge, and you have been able to witness to someone, and they have received the word, and your heart's been encouraged, it's been great. And you say, thank God for this. But the next time, the door slams in your face. The next time you are rebuffed as being an ignoramus. The next time you have no success, and you wonder, what's happening, Lord? Maybe, friend, it is part of you experiencing something of suffering. I was sharing with our youth this morning a verse of scripture that troubles me, really, and that I have not come near understanding of what it means. And it's this, that we might fill up the sufferings of Christ in us. And so when we think about that verse and what it means and all the implications of it in a believer's life, I think it can be summarized at least in this to a little degree, that believer, when you are going through times of suffering in your life, don't think it a strange thing, but think and hear that verse echoing in your mind that I am being filled up with the sufferings of Christ in whatever dimension that means. We're going through times of trial, and there will be suffering. There will be anxiety. Don't be surprised about it, because God is testing very often our faith. He's testing us. He's testing our patience. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, we start off reading that chapter, and we think, too, about the cloud of witnesses introduced in the beginning of chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2. But the latter part of Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith, it deals with those witnesses that suffered extreme persecution. And why? Because they loved not their lives unto the death. Because they saw something that was greater. They saw an eternal home. They realized that what they possessed in Christ here and now was only just a foretaste. And no matter what was going to happen to them, whether they were sawn asunder, whether they lived in caves and dens, whether they were under great fires being burned, yet they realized that they had an eternal home. And one day they were going to be in that place with God and with Christ forevermore. And so, yes, there was a suffering that was connected to the call of God. And that meant at times separation from loved ones and friends. And sometimes you can't explain or understand why that is, but God is doing it. Friend, He's not doing it without a purpose in our lives. We are called unto the Lord, and we are called to an active and a willing service. But I'm thankful, this friend, that it doesn't end there, because the Lord, when He calls us, in the second place, what does He do? He empowers us for the service He calls us to. So He empowers us. Look at what it says in chapter 10 and verse 1. When He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power. Friend, I am very happy to read that verse. I'm very happy that it's in the Scripture, and I'm happy that Jesus said that. Because the Lord did not send out His disciples to fend for themselves and just see how they could get on and do the best they could do. And if you succeeded, well, it was because of your business skills. And if you didn't succeed, it wasn't because of that. You were intellectually good or you weren't so smart. No. He didn't leave them to themselves. They were called to this service because God set His hand upon them and He blessed them. and he enabled them. And he didn't say, look, go and try to start a church somewhere and see if you can debate with those Jewish leaders and convince them to come over to your side because your marketing plans are good or you have an entertainment idea to bring them in. All of those things are useless. But the Lord is saying, I will give you power to go and to build. They could do nothing of themselves, my friend. But he is the one who blessed them, and he gave them that power, and he filled them with the Holy Spirit, which is so absolutely essential. The Apostle John said this, that we have an unction, an anointing from above. The Lord doesn't send us out on our own and expect us to work by our own power. The same Spirit that worked in the disciples is at work in us. And so, believer, if you are in Christ today, if you know the Lord, then I would say to you, do not leave it for a moment, but pray every day for the power of Christ's Spirit to be upon you. Pray for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And you say, but I'm going to my regular and secular employment. Friend, do not think that for a moment you don't need the Lord with you every moment of every day. Pray for the infilling of God's Spirit and go forward in the joy and strength and power of the Savior. And live each day for Him. No matter what you are doing, do it to the honor of the Savior. The Lord sends us forward and He tells us that we are to most definitely pray. We need the Spirit of God to equip us to do our work, basic work. We need God's Spirit to enable us to overcome the temptations of Satan and to live a holy and a pure life. We need to have the power of God so that our conscience will be void of offense toward God and men. Friend, I need this every day. I often ask you to pray for your pastor, to pray that I will know God's Spirit and power both in preparing and delivering of messages, and I pray that he will direct me in every detail of ministry and every message that is to be proclaimed. But you also need His Spirit for every day's work that you're doing. And the Lord that called these 12 disciples, and He gave them power. He will give you the same power every day. So what's the practical side? If we think about this in the third place today, what's the practical side of this active and willing service? Well, let's see what it says again. When He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He gave them power to do two things primarily, to cast out and to heal. And in those two categories, we could break down all of the Christian service that we are called to do. It fits into those two things right there. We are called to the negative side and we are called to the positive side of ministry. Let us never forget that. The Christian experience is not all positive. Jesus said, you will suffer persecution. He will say, there is a cross to be taken up daily. That's the difficulty within the Christian experience, my friend. And very often the negative side is not the pleasing side. It's not the welcome side. It's not the side that people say, yes, give me more of that. But it's absolutely necessary because that is what preaching the gospel is. And we would be sadly mistaken if we neglected that. And the reason behind it is because sin is a real issue. And it's always been that way. It can't be overlooked. We must deal with sin at hand, first of all, in our own hearts. That's where we deal with it. And we must be prepared to cast out those things that cause us difficulty and lead us down the wrong road. We must deal with sin at every hand because defending the gospel at every point is so vital, so important for us. Sometimes it might be easier to say, well, if we speak things that are more positive and more friendly and more welcoming to everybody, then we're going to have an easier time and people are going to think we're magnanimous people and everything is good. But come back to what they said of Christ. Do you know what they said of our Master? They said, this man is empowered by the devil. This man is doing that by the power of Beelzebub. And that's how he does his work. And if they call the master of the house, what will they say of his servants? Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. My friend, we must understand that sin is an issue and that we are going to have to take our stand against that in our own lives and outwardly in the church and in the church in the wider sphere. There's a negative side to this. And before the first coming of the Lord Jesus, there was a great deal of demonic activity. And when you study the Lord's life, as we are trying to go through now in some detail, yes, he spent a lot of his time casting devils out. Many people that confronted him were demonic cases. And he dealt with those and he cast them out. The disciples also faced this obstacle in their efforts, and therefore they were specifically said to cast out devils. And when Satan was defeated at Calvary, what did Jesus say? But the prince of this world has been cast out. And he meant by that, that at that point onward, Satan's ability had been restrained or constrained to some degree. And until we come near the end times, Satan's ability will be loosened even more, and he will have more free rein to go across this world and to deceive the nations before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why some of you recently have even said to me, I don't think the end can be far away. When you look at the chaotic state of the world, and now we know more of this because of communication, whereas in past years, there may have been something going on in one continent and the other continent would know nothing about it for the next number of years. But today we know it instantly. And therefore, as we see volatility and see nation against nation and anxiety and terrorism and the gospel being hindered more and more, we wonder, Lord, how much time do we have left? What does that mean for a Christian? We must be about the Master's business. We must realize that the charge that we are given is to fight against the darkness of the devil's kingdom and to stand for truth. Trying to take the prey out of the mouth of the lion will not be easy. And we're going to get scraped and scratched and teeth marks. But yet it's part of the suffering and the hardness of enduring as a soldier of Jesus Christ. The work of the gospel, it necessarily goes into the devil's kingdom, doesn't it? It goes into his area of work. And when we expose evil or endeavor to cast that out, there's a great resistance to that. And unless, my friend, we are doing and following the Lord in the right capacity, we have to honor him and praise him with all of our lives and service. Let our lives be in such a case where we are not corroded. We are not dirtied over in that sense with the world's things. Therefore, we lose power. The vital steps must be taken to fix the problem in our own lives. And this is something that we ask ourselves, not another person, but we ask ourselves and we say, Lord, restore the power that is so essential and necessary in service. But he also sent forth his disciples to heal. Jesus' ministry when he came was to bind up the brokenhearted. It was to release the captives and to heal those that were lame and sick. Oh, my friend, today we're called upon to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and to preach his love and to preach the reconciliation there is by his atoning blood, and to preach that there is a great physician who is able to come and to heal every disease and every sin and every corruption and he is able to do that which we cannot do ourselves. And so, friend, when you feel yourself powerless and you feel yourself without any ability and no more energy left, come back and read this scripture and be assured that Christ has given you power against evil and power to do that which is right. And go forward each day rejoicing in that great truth. Because the same calling and the same power that was given to these disciples, though their circumstances were different and maybe the attention they were giving was different, yet for us today it is exactly the same, because we need the Spirit of God. We need that anointing daily to equip us and enable us to live for Him. And as Jesus did that in His day, He is still doing it at this moment. And for us, it is a cause of great rejoicing. And would it not be a cause for us to say, let us give of our best to the Master and to give Him first place in our hearts? May be encouraged by that today, and may the Lord bless that to us. We're going to sing a hymn in closing this morning. Number 529, if you're using our hymnal, 529. Take up thy cross, the Savior said, if thou wouldst my disciple be. Deny thyself, the world forsake, and humbly follow after me. Let's stand, please, as we sing. Cross, then in his strength, and calmly every danger brave, 'twill guide thee to a better home and lead to victory over the grave. Take up thy cross and follow Christ, nor think till death to lay it down, for only he who bears the cross may hope to wear the glorious crown. Let's sing this final verse. Father, help us today, we pray, to have this verse, the word applied to each of our hearts. We pray for that daily anointing, the power of the Spirit of God in us, equipping us, helping us to live above the world and to live, Lord, for the honor, for the glory of Christ alone. Please forgive us, Lord, for the time we have failed. Enable us to go forward from strength to strength. If there are any here today, Father, who are still unsaved, we pray that they would come to know Jesus this very morning. Before this day ends, they would say, Lord, save my soul. Be merciful to me, the sinner. Hear our prayers, part us in thy fear, and with thy blessing, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.